Chapter 10. Deenan is an ecumenopolis, like Coruscant, a vast city sprawling over all the landmass and dependent on imports for food and raw materials. Coming from a rural planet with a very scattered population, I wasn't used to seeing an endless vista of buildings all lit up at night, and ships buzzing around them like they were flowers to be pollinated. The planet did kind of seem that way, a field of stiff, bright plants swarming with alien insects. Except it wasn't nearly as peaceful as a field might be. The visual clutter was dizzying, and even from orbit, I imagined I could hear the constant throb of it pulsing in my bones. Our coordinates led us to a rooftop berth on the edge of the Gramil district, which bordered the Lodos district where our target lay. Some arbitrary collection of streets formed the boundaries of Deenan's districts, which as far as I could tell were indistinguishable, but might hold obvious differences to long-term residents. Our Kupoan contact, Saket, had assured Admiral Akbar that landing in an adjacent district to the target would aid our escape, since each district had its own security and we'd be able to take advantage of the small lag that resulted from any departmental coordination. Our arrival shortly after sunset guaranteed an aerial slalom through rush hour traffic as people in speeders and shuttles tried to get home or start the night shift or snag a dinner they didn't have to cook for themselves. Leaving our two in our lodgings, we took a conservative droid taxi that was programmed for safety more than speed. And I didn't mind its cautious progress, since it gave me more time to appreciate the Lodos district at street level. Glowing signs for businesses were often presented in several alphabets in addition to Galactic Standard, many of them in letter forms that I didn't recognize at all. Once down on the street, we were buffeted by a cocktail of noises that ranged from pleasant music to shrill disagreement between a Nymoidian couple in matching gold robes. I felt a headache coming on, and I didn't know if it was from a bug I'd picked up earlier or overstimulation. I would put my credits on the latter. Nakari and I joined a throng of beings coursing down a narrow alley of stalls selling trinkets and flavored ices and stim sticks and all manner of goods that might be desirable but were strictly unnecessary. It broadened at one point to a miniature plaza anchored by a fountain in the middle. The aliens were sitting around the edge of it with food and drink purchased from nearby vendors. One of these, on the northwest corner of the plaza, sold noodles. And it was there we were supposed to make contact with the Kupoan spy, Saket.
"I don't want to think about that nastiness we're supposed to ask for," Nakari said as we took places at the end of the long line.
Obviously, Saket's noodles were popular with the locals.
"You order it."
"What are you going to have?" She perused the menu above the hut, hand-painted in Galactic Standard and repeated in other alphabets.
"Buckwheat noodles and Nerf nuggets with onions."
When we got to the window, I saw two Kupoans working inside, one taking orders and one in a tiny kitchen area filling greased Flimsicard takeout boxes with noodles, meat, and vegetables. I wasn't sure if I was speaking to Saket or not, but I repeated Nakari's order and then ordered the Corellian buckwheat with rancor sauce. The Kupoan gave no outward sign that my order was unusual, beyond a small twitch of the primary and basal ears, scribbling on an old-fashioned paper ticket instead of the more common data pad, and growling something at the cook, lips curled over her large, flat teeth. She took my credits, and I began to fear that I would, in fact, be given something with rancor sauce on it. She produced a receipt from her register, and she scrawled on it.
"Order number 89,
the Kupoan growled at me, then sniffed wetly through her three nostrils, which did little to stimulate my appetite.
"Don't forget your receipt, friend."
She shoved it at me and twitched her head to my right.
"Pick up your food at the window around the corner."
"Thanks," I replied, taking it from her. Nakari and I shuffled out of the way, and I looked down at the receipt.
the number 89 was large and circled at the top, and then at the bottom in tiny script, it said, "Return at 0900 tomorrow." I showed it to Nakari. "I doubt they'll be selling noodles that early," she said.
"I agree. Should give us plenty of time to talk."
"So what do we do now? I've done some shady things for my dad before, but never something quite like this."
"We follow through and get our noodles. We're just two hungry humans out for a bite."
"Excellent. I'm going to take a hollow when you try the Rancor sauce."
"Oh, yeah, right." My stomach turned slightly. "I'm not that hungry, actually." She smiled.
"We can get you something else."
"That might be better," I admitted.
"Order 89.
A voice called from the pickup window. I flashed my receipt, and the Capoan working there, a third one I hadn't seen before, wearing a red bandana that draped protectively over the frequency filter organs between the primary and basal ears, took a look at it and thanked me, pushing forward two hot cartons and disposable eating sticks.
"Don't worry,"
she said in a low voice, her four dark eyes glinting with amusement.
"We just gave you two orders of the Nerf nuggets."
"Thanks," I said, truly grateful.